Welcome to Misunderstood, a podcast dedicated to better understanding MS and learning to live well with MS. I'm your host, Katie Sloan. Our usual reminders as we begin. First, I am not an expert. I'm just a person like you living with MS and trying to make the best of it. Misunderstood is based on my personal experience, what I've learned from my doctors, other care providers, and my own solutions-oriented research and pattern-finding obsession. While the majority of the information I share has been vetted by doctors, I am not a doctor. My intention is that you use the information shared here as a springboard for discussion between you and your doctor regarding your future care options. And lastly, MS impacts each of us uniquely. I hope to shine a light on a wide range of approaches and strategies for living better with MS. But what you choose to do with that information is always your choice. And what works for one may not work for all. In our previous episode, we talked about planting seeds as investments in our future health and happiness. Thank you for the positive feedback for this episode. I'm so glad so many of you found it helpful. Let me know how your seeds are growing. Today, I'm sharing an aspect of life that I'm currently very much in the midst of, that is all-consuming and has offered a surprising opportunity to reflect deeply about life. Lessons from a bathroom remodel. But first, my gratitude for this episode is for my partner, Eric. He has wanted a bathroom renovation since we first moved to our current home in 2018. However, we've always been live with what you have kind of people, and we typically don't choose to discard anything that is still useful and working. We were also both raised in DIY families, trained to do everything ourselves. But with my health concerns, I need to avoid lots of dust and other toxic materials like paints and solvents. And given my age and frankly physical limitations, we needed help in order for this to happen. So it wasn't until this year that we finally decided to find a skilled contractor to dive into the renovation process. Eric has worked diligently for many years to access the funding for this project, and there's no way it would be happening for us without him and all of his hard work. Our remodel adventure began in July when we started meeting with potential contractors, as well as a bathroom design expert. Ever since, we have been slowly moving forward through all the phases and are not yet finished. Sustaining stamina through the process and the process itself has not been without significant challenge, and the journey has taught me a lot about life in general and the many parallels between building health and renovation. If you were to walk through our home right now, you'd be wading through dust on tarp-laden floors, listening to the calming sounds of a screeching tile saw and sledgehammer, stepping through temporary zip-up doorways to enter rooms in progress, and sidestepping to avoid a hard-working construction crew. We are up to our eyeballs in the renovation of three bathrooms. It's messy, it's disruptive, and wildly uncomfortable. Way beyond anything we predicted. But every evening after the crew has left for the day, we can look at what has transpired that day and see the potential of what it will be and the incremental progress made from what was just that morning. This has been quite the profound experience and has made me think, what if living well with MS isn't about fixing something that is broken, but is more about our commitment to designing a strategic and compassionate remodel of aspects of our lives? What if it's about designing space or a practice for our life that actually supports our evolving needs? Today, we'll dive into some of the parallels that exist between a bathroom remodel and designing a resilient, intentional life with the real-time support we need so that we can live well with MS. My hope is that some of these elements and my reflections on the process as I'm still in the midst of it will help us all to consider aspects of our current lives that are worthy of a remodel. And the timing, frankly, couldn't be better. This is the time of year when many of us start naturally thinking about New Year's resolutions or intentions. Well, we've explored those in past years together, and I invite you to review those episodes as possible reflective frameworks to consider using. I'm hoping that we can glean some new perspective, looking at life through the lens of the bathroom remodel. The entire process of remodeling, taking something that exists and making it more suitable for the present and future, in many ways mirrors the necessary internal work it takes to manage a chronic and progressive illness such as MS, and designing a life that truly supports our current and future needs. As we walk through the phases of a very real remodel today, be thinking about which opportunities for remodeling your life might be revealed. Let's start with phase one, the dream design. The design phase is where we set our intentions. We envision what's truly possible, not just what needs to be fixed. As someone who has always been grateful for what I had, this was an unanticipated struggle to take time to truly think about, if the bathroom was a clean slate, what would be best for me? And what would I actually love and not just like? What would be really great instead of what's good enough? In fact, it took me 2 separate trips to Ferguson's to decide on new shower fixtures. They all looked great compared with what we had. And I realized I was used to settling for just about anything that worked and not really thinking about what would suit me best, nor what I really wanted. I had to set aside some time to think deeply about this since it didn't come at all naturally for me. I asked myself, what worked well about my current space? What didn't? If I were starting from scratch, a truly blank slate, what would be nice to have? Were there even places where my personal design preferences could come to life to make the space truly my own in terms of my style and emotional preferences? Since I'm a huge fan of nature, for example, could I find ways to add my personal touch to the space through design, color, or texture, or so it felt extra serene, soothing, and comfortable? What works about my current space is that I love that there is a built-in bench in my shower. It not only provides plenty of room to put stuff, but also a place to sit if I need to rest, and an easy way to shave my legs and wash my feet safely while maintaining my sometimes wonky balance. I also really like the extending shower head that I can move around, and which has a high water pressure setting so I can easily wash products out of my long hair. If you're a tall person, you really can't understand the struggle of rinsing shampoo out of your hair thoroughly when you're short and the shower head is over a foot above your head. What doesn't work so well is the broken shower door that also tends to invite mold and rust, or the 20-year-old plastic shower bottom that is no longer white, or all the aging grout between the super small tiles that is very difficult to keep clean, especially as someone who has incurred nerve damage to my hands and cannot scrub as well as I once could. There's also not a built-in shelf for shampoo and other products, so I just put everything on an aftermarket hanging rack that isn't terribly stable nor organized. Lastly, there is a dilapidated shampoo, conditioner, soap dispenser stuck to the tile from the folks who lived here before us. It's too gross to use, but I never wanted to risk damaging the existing tile by trying to remove it. So, not ideal, but the space works. Which I have now realized is kind of how I was looking at life in general before this remodel began. Not ideal, but it works. And it has made me wonder, going through this process, what if we chose to look at life differently? Not just accepting what works and being okay with it being our status quo, but going beyond that to a place of true joy and possibility, no longer limited by low standards and what is, but inspired by what could actually be? As a result of this epiphany, the plan for my new shower kept the best aspects. I will soon have the same built-in bench on one side, as well as an additional smaller ledge across from the bench. I will have 2 large product storage niches. I will have a new shower head and an additional vertically adjustable handheld shower head so I can direct the water wherever I need it to go and can also clean the shower glass more easily after each use. We also chose 12 by 24 inch tiles to limit the amount of grout that needs scrubbing. And we chose pebbled floors for the best traction to reduce slip and fall risk. And the custom glass shower enclosure will be just glass, not any metal to rust or awkward corners to entice mold to take up residency. In a similar way, the existing bathtub, which is very large, seems to me to be a water waster, so I've rarely used it. It's also chipped and has a crack. And also, the current tub spout doesn't reach fully into the tub, so the water hits the tub at a weird angle, which then proceeds to spray all over, including part of the bathroom floor, which is then quite slippery. This has resulted in me only using the tub maybe a dozen times or so over the almost 8 years we've lived here. Epsom salt baths are a reliable solution for my MS-related pain and spasticity relief. So honestly, it would be really nice to be able to take more regular baths at home between my professional salt floats. So a smaller but deeper tub that I can sit on the edge to get into and out of safely made it onto my dream list, as well as a handheld tub sprayer to make cleaning the tub easy after use. What I do like about the current tub setup is that I have a space to sit after my shower. This is important because sometimes after a warm shower, I am tired. And I especially appreciate having a seated space to perch, to blow dry my hair, or to give myself my monthly Kesimpta shot. There's also a small storage area between the tub and vanity, which is a discreet area to house my Sharps disposal container. It's easily accessible, but not terribly visible to anyone walking into the space. When I continued to explore my needs, balanced with a top personal value of sustainability, we realized that all of our bathroom vanities and cabinets are still in great shape. They meet our current and future needs, and the bathroom floors are all still in great shape as well. This allowed us to also explore our guest bathroom design dreams. Since most of our guests are older than we are, having a shower over a tub like we had doesn't really make sense in terms of safe access. So we were able to design a walk-in shower with multiple grab bars to make things easier for our guests, current and future. Bonus, the grab bars will also work for us to tie our dogs' leashes when it's their shower time. When we think about our personal renovation process in terms of MS, we might think about how we want to approach and plan for the future. In thinking about our literal bathroom renovation, this was a tough one for me. I wanted to design for possibility, not fear. So I made some deliberate decisions that are aligned with my personality, which let's call proactive optimism. I certainly could have designed my future bathroom with a walk-in tub, for instance, a roll-in shower, or multiple grab bars. But after talking with the lead contractor about aftermarket accessibility tools, I decided that I didn't want to surrender to worst-case scenarios. In my mind, this was the difference between planning for my current needs versus planning for the worst-case scenario. In other words, I wanted to plan for the me now, rather than install equipment in preparation for potential future inabilities. When we live with a progressive condition, this balance can be a challenge. What is the current limitation? We certainly should plan for these needs. But at the same time, I think it's important to ask ourselves how much we sometimes might be planning too soon or too much for a potential future decline. What intentions might this be putting out into the ethers about our mindset, about our future health and abilities, and our ability to heal? Definitely something to ponder as we think about remodeling our lives. Sometimes our perceived barriers can become real barriers when we put energy towards them. I decided to design for the life I have now and the resilience and abilities I plan to try my darndest to keep over time. For me, it was, for example, acknowledging my tendency to sometimes get tired and keeping the aspects that support me there, like the bench, ledge, and accessible tub, while also not designing for any additional negative future possibilities. This will be a beautifully functional bathroom for my life now, not a daily reminder of any of my future fears. So taking time to deeply explore our mindset about where we're at and what we believe our future will hold can be a powerful design tool in any life renovation. It's not denying reality, it's preventing the remodel from becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm choosing a hope-driven design. The way I see it, I'm building benches and supports, not grab bars of resignation. A couple of additional questions we can ask ourselves when we're in the dream phase of our remodel. 1. What does a better life with MS look like for us? Without ignoring reality, but designing around it? Some things might actually be worth planning ahead for. For instance, when we were looking for our current home 8 years ago, we both decided that as we continued to age, having a single-level home with wide hallways would be preferable. Since we both grew up in homes with stairs and narrow hallways, and carrying things up and down the stairs all the time or trying to navigate skinny hallways while trying to carry things weren't highlights for either of us. What designs work best for you? 2, what's working? We likely don't need to remodel our entire home or even our entire bathroom. What is your figurative bathroom remodel opportunity right now? It doesn't need to be a literal space. It could be our energy levels and our relationship with fatigue. It could be our diet, our sleep or lack thereof, our negative self-talk, or our current activity levels, our wavering mobility. What is your current bathroom remodel? 3, it's important we take an honest look at our current limitations and struggles with blameless discernment. This requires an honest assessment of our current structures and systems. This reflection entails looking behind the walls and taking things down to the studs, in places we often don't like thinking about. We have to be honest with ourselves about the rust or mold, our current habits that don't support our health, the toxic thinking or speaking patterns, the denial, the unending cycle of coping mechanisms. This isn't about blame or shame, but rather seeing the opportunities, the places where our current foundation isn't supporting us well, so that we can properly reckon with it and reinforce it with what we need to propel us into a better future. This is how we can draft a blueprint for radical self-support that will help us through the current and future chapters of our lives. What will your blueprint for your remodel contain? I'm so curious to hear what you're thinking. Before we move into phase 2, I'll also mention that this is where we need to think about the scope of our renovation project and our budget. For instance, for our literal bathroom remodel, after assessing our main bathrooms and finding where we could keep what was working, I mentioned that we found there was enough in the budget to also renovate our guest bathroom. In a similar fashion, when we're thinking about our lives with MS, it's important that we recognize that we might have a finite budget, even beyond the monetary, like our energy, time, skill set, or other resources. We can't do everything, so what matters most? This takes into mind things like our spoon budget. We've talked before about the spoon theory. By taking into account our spoon budget, we are not cutting corners, but rather prioritizing what matters most to us, and that differs for each of us. So, what are those non-negotiables? Are there things in our lives today that are just costing us too much? Maybe even relationships. Just because we've always done something doesn't mean we always need to keep doing something forever. This is a great time of year, for example, to think of that in terms of the cost of our holiday traditions. In case you need to hear it, it's okay to change even long-standing traditions. Some people might not like it, but remember, they don't know what it's like to be us. Only we know that. And as our own lead contractor and project manager in life, only we can determine what design is right for us. One of the hardest parts of any improvement project is deciding what needs to be done. After that, we're ready for phase two, hiring the dream construction team. In terms of bringing our dream design to life, we can think of ourselves as the lead general contractor of our renovation project. We have the agency and control. No one else cares about our personal renovation project near as much as we do. We get to hire, fire, manage the budget, design, and approve the final plans. This is about putting our agency into action when it comes to our health journey. We can find a new doctor, fire an existing practitioner, or rebudget how we spend our literal and figurative resources. In our literal remodel, being new to such a thing, we needed help to bring our vision to life. And finding the right team is critical. There is no shame in requiring help. In fact, in full transparency, we were very close to signing a contract with one company, but we were both feeling a little off about it. And through further discussion and by trusting our collective intuition, we realized we had each experienced a few red flags throughout the design and contract agreement process and weren't feeling great about moving forward with this partnership. So we pushed pause and decided to get a second opinion, which is eventually the construction dream team we hired for the job. What's the point in terms of our MS journey? It's critical that we find the right team for our personal life remodel. Just like not every contractor is right for our home remodel, not every doctor or health practitioner is right for our body. In all honesty, this may be the hardest and most important part of the personal remodeling journey. If you're listening right now and don't love, yes, love your care team and fully trust them with your one precious life, please keep looking. We are truly entrusting them with our lives, and if we don't feel like we're in good hands, how can we possibly expect good outcomes? My diagnosing neurologist, for example, was a really nice guy and quite experienced with MS. Yet he also told me all I could do was take medication and hope for the best, which I now know is a bunch of malarkey and a dangerously detrimental approach. We have the right to vet our specialists. If they aren't listening to us, as the general contractor of our well-being, that's a problem. Everyone that we hire to be on our construction crew should respect our time, our budget, both monetarily and our energy and symptoms, and respect and support our ultimate vision of what we'd like our lives to look like as people navigating life with MS. Any member of our construction crew who dismisses our blueprints for how we want to design our lives and disagrees with our chosen pathway for our healing journey is not a good fit for us. They are not necessarily bad practitioners. They are quite likely a great fit for someone else, just not for us. Our MS manifests uniquely. Our care team should align with our uniqueness. Once we have our dream care team in place, we are more ready to dive in and see what's possible through reconstruction. We were fortunate to find a great lead contractor with a stellar team of skilled craftsmen. With only green flags waving, at that point, we were finally ready to enter phase three, diving into demolition. Demo day arrived. Two bathrooms were simultaneously completely gutted that first day. When we went to check them out at the end of the day, we couldn't help but think, what on earth had we done? It was pretty shocking and also impressive. And new challenges emerged immediately. Two people who previously had unimpeded access to their own bathrooms now had to share. I certainly underestimated how much this would impact our lives. Suddenly, we had to coordinate showers and other bathroom tasks we could previously do whenever our fancy or urge hit. Funny how we both lived sharing one bathroom for most of our lives and how quickly we got used to having our own. Gratefully, a couple of wonky days later, we found our stride. The dogs had the hardest time with the demo. All the loud noises, saws, sledgehammers, and wheelbarrow after wheelbarrow of debris. The dust, while impressively contained by the demo crew, was mesmerizing and made me question our vision. There were parts of us that wondered again, what had we done? And why all three bathrooms at once? The demo is the messiest part of a remodel, and as I can personally attest to, pretty overwhelming for someone who now prioritizes a quiet and peaceful life above everything else. There is no turning back at this point. The only way around is through. There were some important lessons in the demo phase that emerged to keep us focused on moving forward, and they apply to our lives and the challenges we face as well during a phase of personal life remodeling. As we tear down the old, gone are the old ways of being, and some of these require acknowledging and even grieving to some extent. When I think about my life before my MS diagnosis, so much was different. While I still remember that version of myself, she is very different from the human I am today. And that old me grows less and less visible over time the more I adapt to and embrace living life with MS. What aspects of demolition have you experienced? Have you been able to grieve and let go of that old self that existed before your diagnosis? Or are you still trying to hold on to the past or get back to the way you were before? Addressing this very real grieving process can help us tremendously with acceptance, and then pivoting, finding the strength to move forward in a different way. Like with the literal bathroom remodel, there is no turning back now. We have to be willing to tear down the old facade. In my pre-MS life, my work as a teacher, trainer, and coach heavily defined who I was. It was an integral part of my identity and a big contributor to what I felt was my personal value to society. I had to grieve that loss. I had to acknowledge that I wasn't fine as I stepped over that threshold of early disability retirement, since I could no longer do my job safely and adequately without accommodations my employer deemed impossible. With both the literal remodel and my personal remodel post-diagnosis, navigating the mess is difficult, but that mess is also evidence that the transformation is underway. Like the caterpillar who has to disintegrate completely into the imago phase and the cocoon, going through metamorphosis to emerge a soaring butterfly, so must we. If we want to be able to enjoy our lives again after a life-changing challenge like an MS diagnosis, on a side note, when we think deeply about it, isn't this maybe another reason why the butterfly is the symbol of MS? There's also wisdom to be gleaned from the remodel in terms of perseverance through setbacks. Two of our bathrooms were almost done several weeks ago, and then, all of a sudden, we came to a violent halt. Loud, rattling pipes. Eek! The team spent a week troubleshooting, at first convinced it was a faulty new fixture, which we then had to wait for the replacement to be shipped and arrive. That painful plateau was horrible. We had made so much progress so quickly, and then all of a sudden, we were at a standstill, and the experts leading us had no clear path to move forward. Trusting completely in our expert team was hard. We felt helpless. It took several experts from our crew collaborating with our city water folks to figure out the solution. This was a highly stressful time. Would we need to reopen the walls? Redo all the brand new tile and plumbing that had just been completed? Or open the walls from the other side to further examine and troubleshoot what was going on? Panic snuck in, despite our best efforts, especially as the days moved forward into the second week without a clear solution. And we couldn't help but look at the current state of our investment and wonder if we had made a critical error. Gratefully, now 2 weeks later, the first two bathrooms are completely done to perfection, and the primary bathroom remodel is now underway. But here's the thing, that delay was unexpectedly triggering and expensive in many ways beyond just monetarily. It reminded me of how in life we can be trekking along thinking we're doing okay, and then suddenly, out of nowhere, a diagnosis or a relapse. Or we don't have the energy to do something we plan to do, or we overexert ourselves and pay for it later, sometimes for weeks. It's really uncomfortable when we are reminded that with so many things in life, we just don't have control. The only thing we can control is our reaction to something. Progress doesn't always feel good, and it's not always steady or forward. Maintaining trust and belief through setbacks that we will be okay, whatever happens, is a true test of our character and resiliency. In a remodel, we often find hidden problems. Progress can be ugly. Anytime we open up a wall or replace a pipe or change out a fan or put in new fixtures, there's potential to find even more delay and struggle hidden behind the walls. It's important when we reveal these issues that we take the time and resources to fix them, even if it's a painful process and the very last thing we feel like doing. With MS, I still recall my first full neuropsych evaluation when the psychologist shared with me some hidden challenges in my life that I hadn't at all realized had contributed to my illness. It was honestly very difficult to hear and then to accept that some of the things I loved to do and some of the people I loved to be around or aspects of my perpetually cheerful and optimistic personality were not always healthy for me in their current form. I very much wanted to put this newfound awareness back into hiding so I didn't have to reckon with it. But I soon realized that once the faulty wiring or the leaky pipe is exposed, we can't just forget it's there. The likelihood of fire risk will increase over time. The moist environment will likely grow mold. The MS relapse will come because our body keeps the score. And once we know, nothing good can come from ignoring the truth, however painful it may be. I had to tolerate the messiness of grief as the first step. So even though it meant a handful of years of painful therapy to work through, to put new, both internal and external boundaries in place, and to build overall better health practices one at a time, addressing the previously hidden challenges, fears, traumas, anxieties, and unhealthy ways of being was the only way to reach a different destination and complete that phase of my MS life remodel. We really can't just close up the walls and paint a pretty color over them. Eventually, we'll have to break through the sheetrock again and address reality. This is the only way to get the dust to settle. We must demo the old ways of being that led us to a place of illness before we can build a new, stronger foundation built on healthier thoughts, habits, relationships, and ways of being. It's worth pondering. Maybe this is a hidden gift of an MS diagnosis. With this remodel, we've also learned that having contractors in our personal space for prolonged periods of time, 5 days a week, can be exhausting and a major disruption to our peace, privacy, and comfort. As a couple that spends the majority of our time at home, it has been quite an adjustment. With the doors, windows, gates, and garage bays all wide open all day, and through all sorts of weather, so far ranging from a chilly 34 degrees one morning to a toasty 96 degrees one afternoon, access to even the basic comforts of consistent air temperature or running water when we need it are lost. We also can't just leave. We need to be on call for unanticipated discoveries and adjustments to the plan, so it's difficult to focus on anything for very long. In addition to trying to manage our own comfort, we need to keep our dogs calm through all the construction sounds and smells, and with the constant parade of strange people through our home. Am I the only one living with MS that feels like I'm constantly managing something new in my space? I doubt it. Whether it be symptoms acting up, new physical therapists or specialists to see, more potential solutions or relief pathways to explore, frustrating insurance changes to navigate, confusing paperwork to complete, or struggling to maintain a positive mood through challenging times, living with a chronic illness can be exhausting. This is another place where boundaries become our scaffolding. Designing a clear work schedule and hours reserved for rest and rejuvenation is imperative. By making the most of our evenings and weekends while the crew is gone, managing our energy levels with self-compassion, taking turns being the point person, and engaging in lots of deep breathing, we are slowly finding our way. This is helping us to maintain our pacing without reaching full-on overwhelm. We are now finally at phase four, reconstruction, building the new. Gratefully, now two of the three bathrooms are fully completed, and the primary bathroom, post-demolition, is starting to show glimpses of what it will eventually look like. We are truly manifesting more and more aspects of the new build every single day. It's really exciting to see our dreams from phase one come to life. Eric has his dream shower completed and is thoroughly enjoying it on a daily basis. I'm getting to use the completed guest shower, and it is delightful as well. I love thinking about our future guests and how they will be able to safely enjoy this beautifully updated and significantly safer showering space. It's exciting to see the finishes we chose displayed in perfect visual harmony. The shiny chrome fixtures, the pebbled niches, the beautiful stone floor, the gorgeous travertine tile walls, the fresh paint. They all bring a sense of peace, comfort, and beauty to our lives, significantly more than the dilapidated original showers. You simply can't be in these new bathroom spaces without being happy. They are soothing and serene and sparkling clean. In our lives with MS, these finishing touches matter and can drastically impact our quality of life. In remodeling our lives, what might we need to better meet our needs? And in addition, also bring us comfort and actual joy. What deliberate remodeling can we do to create a life better suited to our new realities? Do we need a better mattress, cooling bedding or pajamas, other tools to help us sleep? Do we need a better morning routine so that we get our mindset in a good place to embrace the day? Would we benefit by building a gratitude practice? Do we need new people in our lives to help us get the support we need? Would we be happier if we were to develop a daily joy practice? Hopefully today, you've come up with some good remodeling ideas. In the phase one dream design phase, and now in contemplating what those finishing touches might be to add to your remodeling plan. As we enter the last few weeks of our remodel, and also enter the last calendar month of the year, when we often think about what we'd like the new year to bring, instead of thinking we need a complete overhaul of our lives and that something is terribly wrong, let's instead be thinking about what part of our lives could use a manageable remodel. If we focus on a strategic and compassionate model, remembering that we are the general contractor of our own well-being, and develop a blueprint for precisely what we need and want most, we can keep the project a manageable scope and drastically increase our odds of making our life remodel a reality. We don't have to wait for a cure, or frankly, even a clear diagnosis, to start designing the life that we want. We can start now to plan our personal remodel and slowly but surely, mini project by mini project, build a life we love. Yes, it might take time, cost more than we expect, and be incredibly inconvenient at times. Yet, we are worth it. Spending time to think about our lives through the lens of intentional design and what's possible is time well spent. So, as the end of the year approaches, be thinking, rather than pushing ourselves to work harder or strive to be better, what instead could we identify as one outdated, dilapidating, or dysfunctional part of our current life that we could put through the remodeling process? I hope exploring these lessons from a bathroom remodel has given you ideas of what you could choose as your personal remodeling plan. My hope today is that we all, one, acknowledge that we are responsible for our lives and for changing them. If there's something that's not currently working for us, we can choose a remodel fueled by possibility rather than fearfully avoiding change or accepting the status quo. Two, that we consider all types of remodels, either physical spaces, personal routines or habits, relationships, pretty much any aspect of life we can think of can be remodeled. we are limited only by our mindset. And three, that we remember that even though there's a lot in our lives that we cannot control, we can choose how we navigate the challenges that arise. When we identify a problem, we certainly can choose to cover it up, ignore it, cope with it, or put it out of sight and mind for a while. But eventually, as we know, we must reckon with it at some point. And there's no better time than the present to start thinking about our dream remodel. To continue our conversation, you are welcome to attend our Misunderstood Flock meetings via Zoom the first Saturday of each month. The next meeting is Saturday, December 6th. Flock members, I'm looking forward to seeing you there. I hope you'll bring a few ideas of your own possible future renovation and remodel projects. If you're not yet a Flock member but would like to be, please join us. We are all people living with MS from around the world that meet via Zoom monthly to support each other and continue our learning on the episode topics. We also support each other through hardships and celebrate our successes together. You can learn more and join us by visiting our Patreon page. Before we go, I also want to invite you all to join me for the December Myelin Room virtual dance party with Dr. Susan Peyrovi. These monthly events take place on the second Saturday of each month. December's event is on Saturday, December 13th at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time for 30 minutes. All of you are welcome. It's great to see everyone moving, however it works. Some people even stay off camera, and that's okay too. You can sign up to receive the Zoom link and an email reminder at drsusanpeyrovi.com. Click on the events link to see the Myelin Room sign up. As always, I encourage all listeners to reach out with MS-related questions, comments, future podcast topics, or guest ideas via email. And lastly, remember, as we travel through life with MS, we're certain to hit some turbulence. We'll get through it, especially if we're flying together, supporting one another, and honking our encouragement. As always, thank you for listening, and until next time, be well.